Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome Pastor Mujahid, who is a warrior for Christ Jesus, no longer a child of Allah, but a child of Jehovah God. Let's welcome him this morning.
Thank you very much. I hope the microphone is on this morning. Praise Jesus. I want to greet you in a wonderful, mighty, and powerful name of Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to Father except through me. Amen to that.
Amen.
He is the only and only and only way to heaven. And all God's people said, Amen to that. Before I will share my personal testimony, and say thank you to the church. I like to talk about the books we have. You know, Pastor just talked about Islam and Terrorism. These two great books. I will greatly encourage you, please get these books. And then Unveiling Islam is another powerful book. These are very good tools for you to use these books to understand and learn about Islam. I will greatly encourage you to please get these books in your hands. That'll be very powerful. Then there's another book, Into the Den of Infidel. You know, the purpose of yesterday's seminar was to educate you about the danger of Islam, and the whole goal was to reach Muslim for Jesus, because he has called us to reach the people, you know, with his love, with the salvation message. Amen to that. So it's really a great tool for you to get this book. If you are afraid, don't want to talk with the Muslim, you just get this book. And you know what you should do after you are done with this book, write a beautiful note telling that, you know, when you are reading this book have greatly blessed you, and I hope and believe that this book will change your life, will bless you. And if you have a question, write the address of your church and the telephone number. Please come and talk to us. We will be very glad to visit you. It's a very good tool. So please do that. And the same thing, I dare to call him Father. As I mentioned yesterday, it's a blasphemy in Islam to say Allah is my Father. So this lady in Pakistan, she have some problems in her life. And she have some Christian servants working in her house. She was the wife of a military general in Pakistan. And she asked them, could you bring the Bible? They were afraid to bring a Bible for her. But anyway, what happened? She told them that, you know, you have to bring the Bible. If you will not bring the Bible, I'm going to fire you from your job. So they brought the Bible and she started reading the Bible. And as she was reading the Bible, she came to this conclusion. And she prayed to God. She said, God, which book is your book? Quran or the Bible? And God of the Bible, Jehovah God, the Yahweh, answered her, in which book you have found me as a father? And she said, I found you as a father in the Holy Bible. And she accepted Christ. And what happened? Then she asked the people if they can baptize her in the water. Oh, everybody was afraid, because it's a great, you know, persecution, you know, especially to baptizing a wife of a military general. You know, it's really a big threat. So everybody was afraid. Then what happened? She filled the tub with the water in our house, and she sat in the tub. And she said, Bilqis Sheikh, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. She dipped herself. So praise Jesus. I will encourage you to get this book in your hand. You know, it's very powerful. And in the search of truth, this is another, you know, story. It's, you know, very, very good, you know, things. Please get these books. And the prices are on these books, you know, and, you know, then, you know, it's a tax-free. That's a wonderful thing. And then there's another thing I like to share with you. I know that many of you were not here yesterday, but we want to encourage you to pray for the persecuted church. is it a great thing to do, to pray for the persecuted church? And how we can pray if we are not informed? If we are not informed, how we can pray? And I think the best way that we should, you know, pray for the persecuted church, and I think the best tool is to you know, I think I praise God for Voice of the Martyr, that God have raised this organization to equip the body of Christ, you know, about what is happening in the other parts of the world. And I will encourage you to, you know, be on their mailing list. They like to send you a free newsletter every month, no charges. But what will happen? It will equip you what is happening, and it will also prepare you for the persecution which is coming to this country. So that's the best way. You can be a part of that. And how you can do that? There's a sign-up card right in the middle of this magazine. And what you should do, you know, write down your name and address, telephone number if you like to, and email address. Let me tell you something. You were not here yesterday, but we don't want you to think that you're abandoned. Okay? Don't worry, you know, I understand that, you know, somehow the chip told me that I'm a very expensive speaker. So, you know, you have to have a $50 to come in the seminar. But, you know, I told the pastor, you know, pastor, you don't worry about anything. You know, let me tell you, what we learned yesterday, I want to tell you, you can have those things. What you need to do, when you fill this card and put your email address, you know, write down your email address here, and we like to send you all those notes via email. How's that? So you think that you're abandoned? No, you're not. So you will have all those notes, because my desire is to equip you. Because Bible says, you know, my people perish lack of knowledge. And we don't want you to, you know, that to be ignorant. We want you to learn, because we're going to be dealing with Islam till Christ comes. So please, please fill this sign-up card. Put your email address, and don't take this card with you. Leave this card over here on the table, and whatever the way, you know, you decide, you leave this card here. Don't take it home. Leave this card here. Amen? Amen? So that'll be great. So how many of you like to receive the notes? Men. So we will send you all those notes. So you will have, you know, all those notes. So if you have a Bible, please open your Bible with me. This is the things I have to change. Okay. Okay, you know, sometimes, you know, all the... I never preach with the PowerPoints in Pakistan, because all the PowerPoints are, you know, here and here in both places. Praise Jesus for this technology. You know, if you have a Bible, please open your Bible with me. The book of Acts chapter 20, from and we're going to read from verse 22 to the 24. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that the prison and the hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Amen. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I lay down my life at your feet, Lord God. I'll consider my life worth nothing this morning. And Lord, I pray that your plan, your purpose, your desire to be accomplished in my life and in the lives of your people this morning. And Lord, you bless each one of us, and Lord, use us for your glory. and raise all of us with your mighty power. Lord, the people, those who are uncompromised with the world, taken out of this world to do your will. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to my Lord Jesus Christ who made it possible for me to be here. And I also like to say thank you to Brother Tim and Sister Darcy and their love and great hospitality and the invitation. And I'd like to say thank you to Pastor Steve and all the pastors, in this church. I greatly appreciate that you guys decided for me to be here this morning. I'm humbled by your love and, the hospitality. May the Lord Jesus greatly bless you and reward you. And, I come from a country called Islamic Republic of Pakistan. That's the official name of that country, where 97% people are Muslim, those who believe that Allah is their God, Muhammad is their prophet, and Quran is their book. When I started to go in school, the part of my curriculum or syllabus, whatever the word you like to use, because in Pakistan we were taught British English. So the curriculum is in America and syllabus in British. So the part of my study was, as I was studying from the grade one, it was Islam to memorize the Quranic verses, read the Quran in Arabic. And as you do those things, because this is the way Muslim think, when you will read the Quran in Arabic, that's the best way to do it. Because that's the original text. Because the Quran was written in Arabic, and every Muslim should read the Quran in Arabic in order to please Allah, in order to have more credits. And that's the holy language, which is going to be spoken in heaven. This is the way they think. We don't speak Arabic in Pakistan. We speak, my native is Punjabi, and national language is Urdu. So those are the two languages we speak. And then next to that is, we can also speak Hindi. So English is my fourth language this morning as I am preaching. And so I can say that I am preaching in tongues this morning. Praise Jesus for that. So for me, it is like that. Glory to Jesus. And here, when I was in school, it was very, very hard for me to read the Quran in Arabic, but my Muslim teacher had a big, long, thick stick. He made me to learn the Quran with that big, long, thick stick. And every day when beating and spanking, and we don't call spanking, we say beating, really, because it was really a beating. Every day we have, lashes all over our bodies. But anyway, I memorized those Quranic verses. But I had no peace in my life. I was taught that, if I will die in the holy war, jihad, my sins are going to be forgiven. I will go to paradise all the pleasures. Here's the Pakistan, the map of Pakistan, which is right next to Afghanistan, India, China, Tajikistan, Iran, Korea, and the Arabian Sea. And here's the things, the Quran, this is the Quran things. Which is in Arabic. And after completing my school, I went to college and took my pre-medical, and I was planning to be a medical doctor. And I did my pre-medical studies in the college, but it was not God's plan for me to be a medical doctor. I decided to go in the military forces in Pakistan. And when I went there as an officer, it was very, very nice job. On a very first day, they gave me two soldiers, those who are going to shine my shoes, iron my clothes, make bed for me. When we go in our dining rooms, waiters are there waiting on us. Everything was great and wonderful and very pleasing to my flesh. And as you grow in the ranks, you will have more servants and more people working for you. And you don't have to pay to them. The government will pay people, and they are free servants for you. And when I was there, what happened, I want to tell you, please understand. You know, God is an awesome God. He will use anything in order to save your life, to bring you to the knowledge of His truth, to the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. And what happened one morning, you know, this is the way Muslim pray. You know, everybody was getting ready to go to their Muslim prayer, and here I got up and I heard a voice calling me, "This is not a right job for me. This will lead me toward destruction." Why? Because I was told that if I will die in the holy war, jihad, my sins are going to be forgiven. I will go to paradise and there will be pleasures of my flesh. I will have 72 wives in paradise. And man, today I understand to have a 72 wives, it's not a paradise. I believe in it. That will be worse than hell. You have a 72 wives. Well, I don't understand why Muslim young guys, they are, you know, caught up in this idea. But I can understand I was in the same idea. When I was very excited, very passionate to be a martyr for Allah. I'm full of hate and anger, like a bloodthirsty person. But praise Jesus. What happened? I pray to God. Oh God, if this is not your desire for me to be in this place, please take me out of this place. And I praise Jesus that He heard my cry. And I was out of that place. I didn't tell anybody that what happened over there. They're going to think I have lost my brain. You know, that's why I have heard those voices and, you know, things are happening in my life. And I didn't tell anybody. And I went back to my studies. I did my study in the chemistry. Became a teacher. And no peace in my life. I changed the school. I went to second school to teach. You know, I have no peace in my life. Went to third school and the fourth school. No peace in my life. I was, you know, tired of all the things. And then I went back to studies. And I did my degree in journalism. But no peace in my life. And what happened? While I was studying, I found some Christians. They were musicians, and I asked them, you know, guys, you know, I like the music. Could you teach me music? And I was learning music from them. And here, one day, what happened? I got the invitation from those guys to come in the Christian camp meeting. And I said, oh, that will be great. I will have a free trip, free food, everything will be great. And I went there, and you know, on the top of that, we're going to have fun. We are going to another city. So I went to another city with this, you know, Christian camp. And when I went there, one evening when I was talking with my friends over there, one pastor showed up in my room, and he shared the love of Jesus Christ. The Jesus said, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you the rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, Muhammad never promised to give rest and peace to any of his followers, but Jesus very clearly promise that, you know, He will give rest and peace to His followers. Praise Jesus. You know, I can tell you, even in the midst of persecution, I have found rest and peace. I just praise Jesus. The peace God brought in my life, it was beyond the imagination. What happened? You know, when that night I heard the message of the cross, the message of Lord Jesus Christ, I surrendered my life to Jesus. I asked Him to be my Master, my Lord, my Savior, and my King. And then the second moment, He was, you know, God gave me the desire to read the Word of God. And I was reading the Word of God in my first sitting. I read the whole Gospel of, of Matthew in a second sitting. I read the whole Gospel of Mark and Luke and John, and I was reading the Word of God. It's a very, very powerful book. It changed lives. You know, praise Jesus. And then the second thing, what happened, I was, on the road, preaching the gospel, doing the street evangelism. Praise Jesus. You know, I was not aware of theology. I was not even gone in any Bible college on that time. And as somebody said, that theology means to make simple things complicated. So what happened? The simple message is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He died on the cross and He was risen on the third day. And give your life to Him totally and completely, 100%, and follow Him with all of your heart. Amen? That's simple. So praise Jesus. So what happened? You know, when I was doing preaching on the streets, some youth, they gave their life to Jesus. They went home. They told the parents what happened. You know, the parents, they invited me over. I was so excited, very happy that I'm going to be sharing the gospel with the parents also. I had no idea what's going to take place over there. I went there, and when I arrived there, the dad of those children, he took me in his room and locked the room. First, I thought that he's going to talk to me privately. But when he locked the room, it took a big, thick stick and started beating. And after lots and lots of beating, you know, my body was full with the lashes. It was very, very painful. He said, call your God to protect you. I knew that. I read in the Bible, Jesus said, love your enemies, and those who persecute you, pray for them. And we know that the Bible says that, you know, when you will be arrested, the God will give you the word to speak. You don't worry, you know what you have to say. You know what happened? I said, you know, my Jesus said, you know, on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. I forgive you, and I don't hold anything against you. And when I said those things, He let me go. Praise Jesus. Yes. You know, I just thank Jesus for that. But after this meeting, I was discouraged. I said, man, this is a very hard job to preach the gospel. You know, it's very dangerous. You know, I can tell you, it is a dangerous job to preach the true gospel. Amen. You know, when you will preach against sin, you know, people are not going to like you. Amen. But keep on preaching. Doesn't matter, He likes you. You know, that's the most important thing. So, what happened? I was discouraged. I said, man, it's a very dangerous job. And anyway, I went to the church, and that Sunday morning, my pastor was preaching about the life of Jonah that Sunday morning. When I heard that story, man, I said, the Lord is speaking to me through the pastor. Because God called Jonah to go and preach to the people of Nineveh, and he refused. And he suffered. I said, okay, God, I will be a preacher because I don't want to suffer like Jonah. So, but I don't know much about the Bible. I want to go to Bible college. And God took me to the Bible college, you know, did my studies in the Bible college, came back, and, you know, what's going on here? can you go up? Okay, leave it like that. So what happened there, I don't know what kind of presentation we put it down there, but anyway, that's fine. What happened, you know, the Lord took me to the Bible college, did my studies, and came back, and the Lord helped me. And we started, 14 churches in a year and a half. Praise Jesus for that. And, you know, here, you know, I was also worried something. When the Lord called me for be a preacher, I said, Lord, it's a very, very, very poor job to be a preacher. Because, you know, I gave up all of my jobs and everything in order to follow you. And now you're calling me to be a preacher of the poorest of poorest. Christians are very, very poor people. Can you imagine that somebody can live with a $50, $100 a month? That's the income. Three meals a day and all the utilities, everything. I said, Lord God, this is a very, very poor job. And Christians are not able to provide, you know. know, they cannot support the pastor. And the Lord said to me, read Matthew 6, where it's written, you know, look at the birds, they have no harvest, the stores abound, but I provide for them. You just follow me, I will meet your need, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, and all these things will be added unto you. No, I said, Lord, I will follow you no matter what it takes. You know, this time when I decided to really follow Jesus, you know, like people really thought, my friends, my relatives, they thought, I really have lost my brain. All the studies I've done, you know, might have, because of that, all the studies of chemistry and all those things really create a problem in my brain. But praise Jesus for all those things. Glory to Jesus. People are going to say all kinds of evil things against you, but praise Jesus. Rejoice, because great is your reward in heaven. That's what the Word of God says. So what happened? Now, preaching the gospel in Pakistan, and people were giving their life to Jesus. And this Muslim man is sharing his personal testimony how Christ came in his life. You know, glory to Jesus. Even his own mother poisoned him to kill him. But Bible says even you will have the deadly poison, but they're not going to work. Praise Jesus. God saved him. Glory to Jesus for that. And here, every Monday we had a baptism service. Glory to Jesus for that. And, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people have been baptized. You know, glory to Jesus for that. And here, as we are working in Pakistan, something happened in the country, in my town. I can't go in details because it'll take too much time. So the Muslims, they accused our people that we have torn the pages of the Quran and have written evil things against Muhammad. In Pakistan, it's illegal to speak against Islam. You cannot have a freedom of speech, a freedom of religion, and the freedom of press. There's no such things in Pakistan. So they spread this news that we have torn the pages of the Quran. And as the other Muslim, they heard that story that we have done those things. And you know that how Muslims are so fanatic about their Quran and their prophet, Muhammad. So they spread this news about us. And within 2-3 hours, around about 70,000-80,000 Muslims with the 400 Pakistani government police, they came and first of all, they looted and robbed our houses. And, you know, kidnapping the girls and raping the girls and took away all of our possessions and everything was gone. And then they start burning our houses. They burned down our 1,500 Christian homes. You can see the destruction of those houses. And, you know, the 13 church buildings were destroyed, bombed by the Muslims. And you can see the 20,000 Christians on that day, in a couple hours, they became homeless by these Muslims, you know, in Pakistan. And, you know, you can see the medical clinics and all the other things were destroyed, bombed by the Muslims. And even they burned down our animals, livestock, like cows and buffaloes and other animals are burned alive by the Muslims. Why? Because these animals belong to the Christian people. And I was in one of the towns that morning. When I saw the mob is coming, they were shouting, Allahu Akbar, kill the Christians and burn the churches, destroy the homes. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I said to myself and my church people, today we're going to die. Let's pray. We lift our hands toward heaven. We said, Father God, if this is the day for us to die, we are willing to die for you. But help us. When these Muslims will come to kill us, we will not deny your name. Because Bible says, be faithful even to the point of death and I will give you the crown of life. Bible says, if you will acknowledge me before men, I will also acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you will disown me before men, I will also disown you before my Father in heaven. And you know, Bible says, whosoever will endure till the end shall be saved. And that was our prayer. And why we were praying like that? Because it is written in the Quran, O Muslim, when you go in the war against Jews and Christians and infidels, first ask them to become a Muslim. And if they deny, then kill them. And that's why we were praying, Lord God, even if they will kill us, we don't want to deny Jesus. Because it is worth it to die for Jesus. Amen. Because Bible says, if you will lose your life for my sake, you're going to gain it. And if you will trying to save your life, you're going to lose it. And I praise Jesus. He spared my life that day. We were back in our town. Can you imagine that? No homes, no church buildings. All the homes were burned. Everything was gone, destroyed. All the church buildings were destroyed, bombed. But we have a Sunday morning worship service. 20,000 people came for Sunday morning worship service. And the Lord led me to preach to these people, to tell them that love your enemies and those who persecute you, pray for them. You know, we have a couple churches in that town. All the churches were gathered together. Very powerful. You know something I learned in the persecution? I learned, you know, persecution bring power in the body of Christ. Persecution bring prayer in the church. Persecution bring purification in the church. And I want to tell you something. Persecution bring unity in the body of Christ. You know, I want to tell you something. Before the persecution, I always thought that my church is the only church who is going to heaven. Sometimes we spoke right from the pulpit against the other people. Against the other churches. But what happened? When the persecution came, no, that's not the Baptist, not anybody, the Pentecostal, the Church of Jesus Christ, washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Anybody who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just give your life to Jesus, follow Him, because Muslims are not going to care, you know, what kind of denomination you belong. As long as you follow Jesus, they're going to come and kill you. Praise God. And I just thank Jesus for that. And now I love all people. Doesn't matter where they go to church. As long as they say those six things, the things I was teaching. Bible is the unchangeable word of Jehovah God. Jesus is God. He's Son of God. Died on the cross and was risen on the third day. And salvation is only through Jesus Christ for our sins. Amen. So, they are my brothers. Glory to Jesus. I don't want to be in a shock if somebody to whom I don't like, if he is in heaven. Because there are going to be lots of shocks in heaven. So I don't want to be in shock. You know, I'm trying to prepare myself. Amen. So what happened here? You know, we start praying and rebuilding our homes and churches. Glory to Jesus. And then after 5 months, I got a call from the Bible college where I studied in South Africa. So this Bible, you know, this Bible college, you know, asked me to come over and share what happened in Pakistan. So I took my wife and children. And we went there, and my younger daughter, she was only 4 days old when my hometown was burned by the Muslim. And she was, you know, 5 months old when we went to South Africa. So what happened? When we went there, I shared the story what happened in Pakistan. And, you know, the church was very grieved and angry. They said, why Muslims have done those kind of things? Answer is very simple. They don't know Jesus. You know, they don't know Jesus the way we know Jesus. We know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He have called us to love our enemies. They don't know that Jesus. So, anyway, the church over there, they protested against the government of Pakistan right in front of the Pakistani embassy. And as they were protesting, the ambassador of Pakistani embassy said, you know, who gave you all these informations about the burnt town? They told my name. And then my name was printed in a newspaper. I was a wanted person on the hit list. I cried on that day. I said, Lord God, why you allow this thing to happen? Oh, I will not be able to see my parents, my mother, brothers, the sisters, the father, my church people anymore. You know, and the Lord said in His Word, you know, just whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You know, I was preaching last week in Granby, Missouri. Something God dropped in my spirit to say, you know, to whom we love more. You know, if you have a Sunday service our evenings, you know, service. But we, at the same time, my son and my daughter are going for a basketball game, a football game. We want to attend that game instead of coming to church. To whom? Who is number one in our lives? The basketball game or a football game? Then who is our God? You know, one church, they called me, you know, they appointed, you know, they fixed the meeting that I should come and speak in the church. And then they say, you know, Pastor, we cannot have a service because we have a Super Bowl. Can you imagine who is your God this morning? Your daughter, your son, or Jesus Christ? I have not seen my parents more than 8 years, but I praise Jesus. You know, when I was in South Africa, I was just sharing that, you know, here we came from a country where we were busy from 7 to 11 in the night, preaching and teaching and praying and counseling all the time with the people. And can you imagine that, you know, you will meet more than 100 people a day. Even if you, if you're not going out of your home, people will start coming to your home. This is what happened in Pakistan. So we were doing like that. And here we came in South Africa, put in an apartment there, no telephone, no transportation, you know. But I thank God for the apartment. But what happened? You know, the guy who is so busy and coming and staying very alone, what's going to happen? I got so depressed. I said, God, I don't want to live anymore. Like burnout. I said, oh God, I don't want to live anymore. Like Elijah. Elijah prayed to you. You know, prayed to God. God, you know, I don't live anymore. I want to die. And we were just like 100 feet away from the ocean. And the thought came in my mind, you know, let's walk into the ocean and just kill ourselves. It's no good to live. What happened? I had the shortwave radio with me, and I was just tuning the radio. And here's a FIBA program, Far East Broadcast Association, FIBA program, radio station. And here I was, you know, tuning the radio. And here, the preacher were preaching, "Grace to you." And you know who was that guy? John MacArthur. And then the Chuck Swindoll. And the Dina Kern from India. You know, from Bangalore. And the Jeet Toro from New Delhi. And as these guys were preaching, praise Jesus. You know, that depression was gone. Glory to Jesus. I don't want to die anymore. I want to live for Jesus. I want to fight the battle which has, you know, that He have given to me. Praise Jesus. And man, I can tell you that from that day, I heard, you know, John MacArthur, Chuck Swindoll, Dina Kern, Jeet Toro, you know, these two from India, two from America, on my knees. I put my shortwave radios like that, and always knelt down. And you know, the tears are coming from my, you know, the tears are rolling from from my eyes on my cheeks. I cry for 2 years. You know, when every day for these four programs, every program is for 30 minutes. So I listen to these four guys. And, you know, these guys have greatly impacted my life. I just praise Jesus. And, you know, I can say, you know, all the denominations have worked in my life. I praise Jesus. And I love all these guys that praise Jesus. When I was listening, you know, it was amazing. You know, I think 2 years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago, I got a call from the Master's College to come and preach there. So I was shocked. I said, I never knew that one day, you know, I used to hear this man there on the radio. Never knew who is this guy. But, you know, hear God's unique wisdom and sense of humor. You know that God is going to take me right over there when this broadcasting is coming. Praise Jesus. Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And You know, some people that told me, Pastor, you should stop preaching, then, you know, change your profession, then you will be able to go back to Pakistan. And, you know, this is what they were telling me in South Africa. I said, no, this is not my profession, this is my calling. I cannot change my calling. I don't want to be I don't want to be disobedient to the calling from above. I want to follow my calling because God has called me to preach. And with that, you know, a desire and a passion, I was preaching, and you know, something happened there. You know, a Muslim lady, you know, she got healed, and you know, they were talking about Jesus, and you know, that Jesus did this and Jesus did that. You know, all those things were going on there in the home. So what happened? Son was not happy because he's a Muslim priest. He doesn't want to listen to the name of Jesus. But anyway, you know what happened? He threatened us that they're coming to kill us. Then we have to flee from that town to another town. That's what the Bible says. And that's what I practice. And I know that the Bible is true. You know, I can tell you the Bible is true. Because I did practice that. Is, you know, running from one home to another home, one town to another town. Well, you know, that's what Jesus said, when people will persecute you in one town, flee to the other one. So praise Jesus. If they will persecute you in Florida, come to Colorado. Praise Jesus. So what happened here? We fled from that town to another town. Here we met a medical doctor, the Christian medical doctor in another town, and he said, you're welcome to stay in my home. You guys are welcome. But there's a condition. I said, what is the condition? He said, you have to preach in my medical clinic every morning before I will see the patient. I said, sure, I will preach in your medical clinic every morning. And here I went with him every morning in the medical clinic and start preaching. And man, the people were giving their life to Jesus. And from the medical clinic to the swimming pool, baptizing the people. Glory to Jesus. And even some witch doctors in Africa, they became Christian. Glory to Jesus. And then what happened? Muslim, they found out, you know, where I am. And they caught me in that town and they forced me to go with them to the mosque. And they had a plan to kill me there. But God spared my life. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I thank you. You know, and what happened? The time became so tough and tough that the South African government, they said, you know, we cannot keep you anymore in this country. We want to send you back to Pakistan. Let me tell you something about South Africa. Muslims are less than 2%, but they're more than 25% in the parliament in South Africa. And can you imagine if you go in a grocery store what are the stores we have here? Or whatever, you know, I don't know, I've forgotten the names. You know, Walmart, all those things, you know, King Super, Safeway, all those, you know. Over there, on every meat product in South Africa, there's a crescent moon and the star and the word halal is written. So it is approved by the Muslim Council. And if it's not approved by the Muslim Council, you cannot sell any meat product in South African stores. This is what is happening. And they have a goal to make South Africa, declare South Africa a Muslim state in 2009. This is one of the goals of Muslims. So here, you know what happened here? We fled from this town to another town, and there we were hiding, and the South African government said they cannot keep us anymore in this country. They want to send us back to Pakistan because they want to do business with them. We said we cannot go there. If we go there, they're going to kill us. They said this is not their problem. They want to do business with them. Then we went to U.S. Embassy for help, and they refused to help us. They said, you know, we cannot help you because according to our law, you need to go back in your own country and apply visas from that country. I said, we cannot go there. They said, you know, according to our law, we cannot help you. Then we went to UN for help. They refused to help us. And, you know, our passports were only good for 15 days. And also, we were given a date from the government of South Africa that, you know, you need to leave the country in 15 days' time. We're going to deport you back in your country. We have no money to pay for visa fee. We have no money to buy plane tickets. We were living in somebody's home. No job, no transportation. We were in a very dangerous situation. And my wife and I was talking, and we were thinking, God, we are ready to die. We want to die for your name's sake. But the difficult part is our children, how we can see the death of our children in front of our own eyes. Lord God, somehow save our children. And we only had 15 days left. And then the Lord inspired my wife to pray and fast the way Esther in the Bible fasted and prayed for 3 days and three nights without eating and drinking, absolute fast, not even water. And my wife, she fasted for 3 days and three nights without eating and drinking, absolute fast, not even water. And we were praying, Lord God, all things are possible with you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is too difficult for you. You can do all things. Lord Jesus, we want to go to the United States. When we went first time, they refused to give us the visas. But Lord, we have heard the stories. You know, and we have read the stories that how the Christians that took the Bible and stick to nations, and how they were searched by the police, and the police didn't see those Bibles with them, although they were carrying tons of those Bibles with them in their trunks and their cars, but they didn't see those Bibles. And Lord God, when we went to U.S. Embassy in the first place, they refused to give us visas for these reasons that we have Pakistani passports. A South African government have put a seal on our passport. That means that we cannot go anywhere besides Pakistan. The only place we can go, we should go back to Pakistan. And our passports are only good for 15 days. We have no money to pay for visa fee. We have no money to buy plane tickets. And all those things are saying it's not going to work. It's impossible. But Lord, all things are possible with you. Lord Jesus, please go with us over there. And as we will present our Pakistani passports, which are about to be expired in 15 days, and we have no money to pay for visa fee, no money to buy plane tickets, and you know there's a seal on our passport, Lord God, they will not see all these things. Just close their eyes. And please grant us the visas for the United States that we could go there. You know, we called the one church and asked them if they can give us the transportation. You know, they sent the church driver, and the church driver took me. He took us to the U.S. Embassy, and as I came out of the car, I said, Lord Jesus, please go with us. And I praise Jesus. He went with us because He has promised that I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you. And as we went there, this lady in the U.S. Embassy, she took our passports. And she didn't ask me a single question. She said, come after 3 days and collect your passports. Glory to Jesus for that. And she didn't ask a single question. Then the guy who was driving for us, he said, are you going to United States? I said, yes. He said, do you have money to buy plane tickets? I said, no. He said, it is very expensive to go to United States. You guys should have a big box to buy 4 plane tickets. I said, we don't have a big box. We serve big God. He will provide for us. Because when I gave my life to Jesus, He said to me, follow me. Seek the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I believe that God is going to provide. So what happened? The Lord led me to fast and pray then. I started fast and pray, and Monday we were praying, and we were crying for many, many hours. More than 6 hours we were praying and crying, literally crying before God. God, have mercy on us. And I praise Jesus that He heard our cries. And the Lord spoke to our hearts, you know, that I, the Lord, who change not, I am same yesterday, today, and forever. As I brought the people of Israelite, I'm going to take you to the United States. Nobody's going to stop you. And I praise Jesus that He heard our prayer. And next day, we went to U.S. Embassy. And what happened? we got our visas for United States without any question. They didn't ask a single thing. They didn't ask for a single paper. Praise Jesus. But no plane tickets yet. We only have 7 days left. And within the 7 days, if you have to buy 4 plane tickets. I didn't know the credit card on that time. Never saw the credit card. I can use a credit card to buy the plane tickets. But I don't believe in a credit card. I believe in Jesus. So, praise Jesus. You know, so we were praying. And here, you know, on the fourth day, I heard, you know, I was sitting in somebody's, you know, we were living in somebody's home. I heard the bell rang. I went outside to see the guy. And here's the guy standing. And he said, you know, he came in and he said, you know, let's pray. And he prayed with us. And then he said, you know, Pastor, here are 4 plane tickets for you and your family. You guys are all set. You're flying to United States on Thursday, 6 p.m. with the KLM and Northwest Airlines. We did not spend a single cent to come to the United States. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ brought us here on His mighty wings. Woo. Glory to Jesus. And that's why I said to you, you don't have to be worried about the plane tickets. The Lord Jesus will take care of that. Glory to Jesus. Because He always have taken care. And He always have provided. Praise Jesus. And you know, on the July 23rd, 1999, we came in this country, the beautiful country, the land of freedom and liberty. And as we arrived, you know, we had no idea what we were going to be doing here in the United States. Let me tell you, when we arrived in Detroit, Michigan, here were the 4 lines. Two lines were for the immigrants and the nationals, and the 2 were non-immigrants. And I was standing in a small line. And the Lord spoke to my heart, you know, leave this small line and go and stand right behind the big line. I left the small line and stood right behind the big line. And here my turn came, you know, it came to face the custom. And I was told that they're going to ask you tons of questions. And if you will not be able to answer those questions, they can deport you right from the airport. They're going to ask you that where I will be staying. You know, what will be my job in America? And I have no idea. I have no idea what I will be doing, where I will be staying in America. And here, they ask me the same question. What will be my job in America? I don't know, man. I kept quiet. If you don't know the answer, you need to be quiet. You know? It's better to be quiet than give her the wrong answer. So, I didn't answer her. And after 15 seconds, she said, "Oh, so you guys going to be missionary in the United States?" I said, "Yes." And they said, they stamped our passport. She said, "Welcome to the United States." And praise Jesus, what He started, He finished. Glory to Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, please, please, remember, no matter what it takes, be faithful with Lord Jesus Christ. Follow Him with all of your heart. Don't worry what the people think about you. If they think you are crazy or stupid or have lost your brain, just praise God. Rejoice in Jesus Christ, because great is our reward in heaven. And always, always look unto Jesus. You know, there are 3 things the Lord have, you know, taught me. And I always pray for those 3 things. You know, as Paul in the 2 Timothy, as he was about to die, he said, you know, number 1, you know, fight the good fight. I fought the good fight. Finish the race. And kept the faith. That should be our prayer every day. Lord Jesus, help me to fight the good fight and finish the race and keep my faith. Because that's what Jesus said, you know, when the Son of Man will come back to this earth, will He find faith? Yes. That's the most important thing. So that should be your prayer every day. Lord Jesus, I need your power to fight a good fight, run a good race, and keep the faith. Lord Jesus, bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Glory to Jesus.
Well, before he steps down, Pastor Mujahid, would you do me a favor?
Yes.
And would you tell everyone about the churches in Pakistan and your ministry?
I can show them. Here, God is working in Pakistan. We have over 50 churches, Bible college, and medical clinic we have. And we also doing this thing. And here, I want to show you something. Oh, what happened? You know, here's the earthquake happened. We took foods and blankets, you know, for these people in Pakistan. You know, church people carrying those, you know, the food. And here, you know, the destruction happened. Here, they also sharing the gospel with this Muslim woman. Now, see how she is covered, her face is covered, everything. You know, here, they're sharing the gospel. And here, in this picture, she is saying the sinner prayer after the pastor. And here, what happened after she said the sinner prayer, pastors and other people, they start praying, and she took off the mask. Praise Jesus. That's the reason Jesus came for, to set the captive free. And, you know, here, you know, we're doing this, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. You know, this was the area where you cannot talk about Jesus. If you will talk about Jesus, they will kill you. But praise Jesus, God allow all, you know, those things that we could go and preach the gospel. And I just praise Jesus. You know, here, the Muslim militant receiving the blankets. And here, they're lifting their hands and praying in the name of Jesus. That's what they're doing, you know. And here, you know, pastor is praying with another Muslim man. Here, we also want to recognize the American brothers and sisters, that we tell them that the money is coming, number one, from Jesus Christ. And number two, these American brothers and sisters, they are supporting the work in Pakistan. The God is using me as a channel to bless that work through the American brothers and sisters, the churches. And, you know, we're distributing the food. And we tell them that the American Christian love Pakistani people. They care for you. And here we're doing that. And, you know, people are getting, you know, food. And this is the church. We sit on the floor. The woman sit on the one side. The guy sit on the other side. But they'd not be talking about the, you know, what they're going to be eating after the after the service. And which restaurant they're going. Sometimes we're sitting together talking, you know, after the service, where are we going to have to go? I'm just kidding. So this is a custom, a culture. So here's even on the top, you know, the gallery, the packed. Glory to Jesus. And the result of the ministry, this is what we're doing. You know, the God is doing through that ministry. You know, people are getting baptized, saved, set free, and, you know, all the work is going on like this. That's it. Thank you very much. And the Lord Jesus richly bless you.
Well, thank you very much. Listen, we want to give you an opportunity to partner with that ministry. We're going to take up a love offering. You already know that he pulled me aside yesterday, said, don't pay my plane fare and all of that. We know Jesus provided for him and keeps doing that. But at the same time, I asked him, I said, well, tell me about your work in Pakistan, because it's like his churches were burned down and now he's here in America and the opposite now has happened. Churches are being started over there. Muslims are being set free, coming face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible. And that's the only setting free that occurs in anyone's life, no matter who you are. Because as far as the Bible is concerned, there are only two kinds of people. People that are lost, dead in sin, and others that are born again by Jesus Christ. So we're going to receive an offering. And if you would like to give to this ministry, if you're writing a check, just write it to the church. And we will take care of the necessary parts from right there. So let's go ahead and pray. And you can do that. Father, thank you so much for the testimony of this dear brother. Thank you for what you have done in his life, in his wife's life, his children. Thank you, Lord God, what you are doing, Lord, through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for his faithfulness, his commitment to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for those four pastors, two that we know, Swindoll and MacArthur, and for encouraging this brother. And thank you, Lord God, that you have, in your providence, allowed him to be here with us. And Lord, to bless us, Lord, with his testimony and with the example, Lord, of a life that has been changed by you. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing and the example that we have before all of us. And Lord, the same God that worked in him is the same God that works in our life. Jehovah God, Yahweh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for a full day you've given to us, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that none of us will take these things for granted, and none of us will treat any of these things, Lord, lightly. But God, that you are at work in this world. And Lord, even though the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, is seeking, Lord, to destroy us and to kill us, and seeking to put out our message, Lord, your message still goes. And Lord, though they may be able to destroy the body, they can't destroy both our body and soul in Gehenna. Lord, we are to fear you, not fear what people will do to us. And if only we could remember that, Lord. And if only we would trust you in those difficult moments, as our brother has done, Lord, then we will truly know what this brother has shared with us. We will know that personally. So, Lord, we pray as we receive this gift that, God, it will be used for your kingdom. And we know that it will be used for that. And we know that, Lord, that you will use it to feed not only physically but spiritually, Lord, people that need Christ. So, Lord, we pray that you will multiply this gift for your glory. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, as we receive this, guys, you can go ahead and pass the baskets. Just want to encourage you to be praying for Tim and Darcy, for their ministry. We are so thankful for them. Okay. Yes, if you filled out one of the cards, you can drop it in the basket as it goes around. Tim will also have a basket over there at the table. Please do visit the book table as we close out this morning. Again, there are great resources over there that will help you in understanding more about the Muslim faith. And so I just want to encourage you in that way and just praise the Lord for what he's done today. All right. All right, well, praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and pray again, and we'll be dismissed. Listen, just a reminder, all the audio from yesterday is on our website. I'd encourage you to download it, listen to it, ask God to use it in your life. Ask God to give you the compassion that you need to reach the people that are around you for Christ. As the many missionaries before us have prayed, God, give me souls or I'll die. Ask God to give you that kind of heart. Jesus, thank you for the gift this morning that has been brought. Again, thank you for our brother being here today. Thank you for Tim and Darcy, Lord. We just lift both of them up to you as well, and the many things that you have going on in their near future, Father. The ministry that you have called them to, God. And Lord, I pray for this brother that nothing will hinder him in any way, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, we know that your word is not bound. Again, we thank you. We praise you. And we pray that in Christ's name. Amen.